Welcome to the PIGcast, the podcast series from and for the swine community brought to you by MSD Animal Health. Today, we are going to dig deeper into the biosecurity topic, and for that, we have with us Miguel Ángel Higuera and our duo of fantastic hosts, Miquel Colell, Global Technical Director, and Jessica Seed, also our Global Technical Director. My name is Olivia Thlor, Global Marketing Director for MSD Swine, and I hope you will enjoy today's conversation.
Hi, welcome to another PIGcast. With this brand new name, it's not easy to remember that it is a podcast or is a PIGcast, but no, this is our PIGcast. Welcome to this PIGcast. Today, it's a pleasure to have with us a good friend. And if I, I like sometimes to try to have a word to define someone. And if I need to define this guy, I will say that he's the lovey guy. Hi, Miguel Ángel. Let me introduce Miguel Ángel Higuera, which I consider a good friend for me. He just have a degree at a University Complutense of Madrid. After that, he was working in Cubus. After being in Cubus for a period of time, and this is why, because when I was looking at the bio, and we were saying, he was asking, oh, Jessica, where is from Jessica? And I say, she's from Kansas, and he says, I know Kansas. I've been in Kansas City, and there is Sevilla. There is a Sevilla Street, which they have the Torre del Oro, La Giralda. And I remember being there last year, and that's true. So, this is the connection that Miguel Ángel have with you. The Sevilla Street, which is there, no? And that was at the time of Cubus. Being at Cubus, he was at Sevilla Street in Kansas City. It's a nice city. They have nice restaurants, this place. But anyway, after being with Cubus for a while, then he was joining Proincerca. That was one of the biggest swine companies in Spain for a while. And after that, he was working, at the beginning, he was more in the technical positions, but later on, he was joining Amproga Pork as a manager assistant. And correct me, Miguel, if I'm not right on that, but if I'm not wrong, then now he's our Spanish guy in Europe. So he's representative of the Spanish meat sector in the meat forecast committee at the Big Meat Consultative Committees. He's part of several committees. He's collaborating with the work groups of Copa Copega. Well, I can say a lot of things, and I think that with this is probably enough. Remember, guys, this is our lovey guy. So he's the lovey guy in Europe. So as a lovey guy and as a guy that knows a lot about what's going on in Europe and also what's going on in Spain, so the one that he will conduct the interview is our technical, my colleague Jessica Seed, that she'll be the one conducting this podcast. I will be on the background, and if I have the feeling to say something, as always, Jess, that I'm a little bit stupid, and I always jam in things that I don't need to jam. But anyway, I will be around. So thank you, Miguel Ángel, for being here. And now, please, Jess, the floor is yours. Thank ahead with our customer, or no customer, sorry, with our friend, which is Miguel Ángel Higuera.
Well, thank you, Miguel, for joining us today here on the podcast. So let's kind of dive into some discussion points. We were kind of hoping you could give us an update on the current situation of African swine fever.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. And also thank you, Miguel, friend also. And the introduction as a friend always are very, very welcome. For us, of course, and in Spain and also in Europe, the African swine fever, I think, is the main concern that we have occurred with the coronavirus situation. Has been a little bit inside of the mist, but really, 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 our main concern is the evolution and also the spread of the African swine fever. Not only because the disease has a problem directly for the farms, also because the disease is a global market problem. Also, we are considered that we are one of the bigger exporters for the third countries, and we have some problems though with the regionalization and how to are managed our outbreak in Europe. Now the situation is complicated because, of course, the African swine fever right now is very close to the German border. Germany is the main important country in Europe in the level of meat productions in terms of livestock, like that's meaning in pig production. Spain is then is the first position in Europe. But when we are talking about the meat and also the different relations between different countries, Germany has the power. And the African swine fever is 10 kilometers far from the border. So 10 kilometers is quite nothing. It's like a walk. So we are very scared about what is the situation. And very difficult because at the end, the African swine fever, except in Romania. In the other countries, the African swine fever is in live work. And also in a small backyard farm. So that means that it's more difficult to control that if we have the disease in our professional farming. That means that we have to create fences and try to avoid the movement of the wild animals. So this has a lot of complication to that. And to build fences and to try to have the hunters controlling the population and the hunters in the situation that we have already in the world, that is the coronavirus. So the coronavirus right now, the people are going outside, but we have had 3 months that there are no hunted at all in Europe. So no hunted at all, the people have been at home. The wild boars has been also more, I don't know how to say, more close to the farm, more close to the people. So there are not people in the houses, in the streets. So the wild boars have been moving with more freedom. And this is, of course, increased the risk. And also we have had two important cases of African swine fever in two farms, in two very professional farms in Poland that has raised what is the situation. With this situation, we know that our export can be increased if the African swine fever increase in another countries. What is the only things that the farmers can do? Improve the biosecurity. This is the only things that we can do. Because there are another things that is try to control the wild boars, try to control the feed, try to control another thing, but it's not in the hands of the farmers. When we are trying to transmit what is the main output that we need is to protect yourself, to protect themselves. All the people has to protect each other. If the only way to do is the biosecurity. It is not only the individual biosecurity in a farm. It's the regional biosecurity, the biosecurity of the country. So we have to create, not a country, we have to create a castle with the fences, with the walls, to try to avoid the entrance of any virus, in this case, African swine fever. So our objective is to try to defend, and the defense is the biosecurity, for sure.
Well, you bring up a good point when you talk about the regional approach for biosecurity. So what do you think of the Spanish legislation on biosecurity?
Yeah, for me, this is one of our better advantages that we had in referring with another country. So we, unfortunately, we had had African swine fever during 40 years. So firstly, I don't want to give any example for the people because we had African swine fever 40 years. We eradicate African swine fever in 1995, and in the year 2000, we created a special legislation in order to try to apply in the legislation all the things that we have learned in the eradication of the African swine fever. And we established two principles that is already right now in our legislation, is the minimum distance between the farms. So when we are talking about the production, the regular farms, the minimum distance has to be 1 kilometer. 1 kilometer between farm, also between farm and village, where the people lives. If the farm is a genetic or insemination center, something like that, is 2 kilometers. But the other thing is the maximum size of the farm. So in Spain, it's not allowed to build the farms that you would like to have. You have a maximum size that is limited by law, independent if you have mother, you have a weaning, or you have fathering, so depending of the system, but you have a maximum of the animals. This legislation right now is very, very useful for the sanitary issues and also for the sustainability and also for the spread. But at the beginning, was created only for the sanitary purpose to try to reduce the risk of the most confirmed that we have when we would like to eradicate African swine fever. When the people say, what is the most important thing if you would like to eradicate African swine fever? The most is the money. Because you have to pay. you have to make a lot of things, but you at the beginning have to pay. At the farm end, have to know that if they have African swine fever in the farm and you have to kill all the animals, they are going to receive the money. If the farmers are not sure about that, you are not going to implement an eradication program.
I think that you jump, sorry, just to jump here, but I think that you jump in a really very important point, because one of the things that I realize in, and you say you have to pay, and the money, the farmers, they need to receive this compensation, which is something that is not happening, unfortunately, to all the countries in the world. So that's something that creates probably this spread in some places, no? When you talk about paying, because if I'm not wrong, Spain was paying not only for what it was the meat price, it was paying for something else, which is the production. Can you go a little bit deep on that? Because this is a question that a lot of people, they post to me in several countries, and I think that it's a question that it's nice or it's important to explain a little bit. And sorry
Thank you, Miguel, because when we eradicate African swine fever, we have the price, of course, to have a positive farm. You have to kill all the animals and also pay for the farm, because if not, you are not going to eradicate the disease. But the payment was also a proposal, was a bonus, a positive bonus, was in order of the biosecurity that you have implemented. So also you have a program, we had a program to increase the biosecurity in the farms, and also you have different levels of biosecurity, you can have until 20% more of the prices. So you figure that you have an outbreak, you have a payment of 100% of the value of these animals, but if you have also applied the biosecurity measures, you can get 120% of the value of these animals. So, and also, it's not only the value, it's the time that you are going to receive the money. And the time you have to receive the money have to be in 1 or 2 weeks after the last animal that you have to kill in the farm. Because at the end, if the system works, they are going to spread for farmer to farmer to say, don't worry, if you have any problem with African swine fever, sell to the competent authorities as quicker as you can, because you are going to have money. Don't worry about your price, you are going to have it. In Spain, the distance and also the size of the farm, what made it that you can have a budget in case you have an outbreak of African swine fever, you know how it is, the quantity, the maximum quantity of the money that you need to try to avoid and eradicate this outbreak. That means that if you have a minimum distance between the farms, you know that in 3 kilometers of the area that the farm is positive, you have located 3-4 farms. If you have the maximum size of the farm, you know how much is the quantity of the animals that you have to pay. So we already know in Spain that if we have one outbreak of African swine fever, we need already 10 million of euros to eradicate that. We are not have to ask him to make or ask him how much is the animals, how much we need to eradicate, how much of veterinarian we need. No, 10 million euros right now for today. We need it and the outbreak is stopped. This is very easy. And also if we reduce the density of the farms, also make it easier. The surveillance is not the same. You have an area of 3 kilometers that we have 100 farms that you have to check, make a surveillance of these farms, or you need 100 veterinarians, or you need at the end 1 week to take the samples. But if you have only 3 or 4 farms, it's very easy to make in 1 day. So you have the surveillance in 1 day, you know what is the disease, and also you have to kill all the farms you have already. You know exactly what is the quantity of the money to do that. Because the sanitary apologized for that, you need money to try to control any disease, increasing the biosecurity, because the fair option is the protection. If you fail in the protections, you have to have the measures to try to control and avoid any problem more. Do you think so also, Miguel?
Exactly. And I'm really happy that you bring that into the discussion, because I think that it's a really an important point that makes, when the people analyze the failure of what it was programs in some places, is because they don't have that clear in mind. And I think that with that, we can help other countries. I'm really glad and happy that we can share that with in this podcast with other people in other countries. Thank you, Miguel Angel, for bringing
it. I would like to say, areas. I would like also to include one thing, because this relation between the law, the competent authority and the farmer was possible in Spain, because we had a general director that was veterinarian, and was fish farming together, the three positions together, general director of the government, veterinarian, and pig farmers. So try to put together all the things to go in the correct direction in only one person. So what's thing one of them?
And then to me, there is another crucial thing, that it's the fact that at the end, don't expect the law do it everything for you. Is that what I was saying? Don't expect, ask what you will do for the law, or ask what you will do for your country. No, I think that that was something that it was said for some politician a long time ago. And I think that here the sector, and you are the one representing, which is the industry, they were the one demanding these kind of things, which makes a huge difference. No, I think that that's an important.
For example, we have created this year a new royal decree about the pig sector in Spain. One of the most important points of this new regulation is the biosecurity. I think we are almost quite the only country in the world that we have described what is the requirements in biosecurity that every single farm have to comply. And this requirement was coming from the farmers. So the farmers, we told to our government to say, okay, we would like to make this new legislation, but the requirements on the biosecurity has to be done this one, this one, this one. And some of them, the competent authority say, oh, I think this is a lot of requirements for the farmers. But they say, but of course, if the sector that are you are demanding it, we are going to put in the legislation. So we have the legislation with the law, with all the requirements in biosecurity that is mandatory for 100% of the farms. So I think this is very, very important to be sure that the minimum level of biosecurity is absolutely done if all the farmers.
So, you know, along those lines, it sounds like, you know, at least the farmers were really involved in creating these biosecurity programs. And so, you know, can you kind of dive in more about like how Spain itself is contributing, the farmers themselves are contributing to this program, what that really looks like? I mean, you don't have to go in too depth, but just to get a generalization of what that program looks like, because it sounds like it's very inclusive, and that you're getting input from multiple sources. So I feel like it would be more successful as well.
Yeah, and also as some of you know, our production system, the most important is the integration model. Integration model is the integrated family farm company with integrated farms. At the end, it's some difficult to the integrated company try to convince to the farmers to apply more biosecurity, because at the beginning for the integrated farm, they believe is wrong, but they believe that it's a cost. It's not a cost, it's an invest, for sure, the biosecurity. For the reason, when the integrator companies are talking between them, say, okay, we have to have the same rules for everyone, because if I would like to increase the biosecurity in my company, and I also try to press to my farmers to create more things to try to protect my animals, I have the possibility that the farmers say, I know I'm going to be more happy with another company, so bye-bye, because the other one don't ask me for half a fences in the farms and you do it. So bye-bye, I would like to go. No, this have to be no at all. So we have to have the same rules for all the farmers. So I think this is the beginning. The beginning is that we would like to increase the biosecurity in all the country, and to do that have to be mandatory for everyone. We have a very good relation with our government, that's clear. So we are the most important sector in Spain. We have the 40% of the livestock sector in Spain is the pig sector, so we are absolutely the most important, and also we are the most important in the exports. So, and I think when we are demanding some issues to the government, are very practical, are very clear. We are not demanding a lot of money. We are never demanding money for the government. We are demanding that they have to create the path or the ways that we have to make to the things properly. So this is that we are demanding. And one of the things is, okay, we would like to have a better biosecurity in our farms. For this reason, we would like to have all these requirements, fences, the protection of the windows, the locker rooms that have to be mandatory in all the farms, also the change of the clothes, to have a toilet and to have a shower, because it's needed not only for the biosecurity, it's also needed for the image of the farmers. To be sure that there are not any vehicles that have to be inside of the farms. All the activities have to be making upside of the farm. There are very logic measures. There are simples logic. There are another more that is more related maybe with the production, like for example the division between the different phases, that you have farms only with the sows, another with the winners, another with the fatterings. It's more like a US system, but try to reduce the possible of the transmission of the pathogens. But at the end, when we are talking about the infrastructures, that is an invest, have to be writing in the law to be sure that if we like to build a new farm, you have to comply with these requirements. And it's better to know in advance. So if you would like to have a project and say, I would like to build 7,000 units of fattening pigs, I have to comply all these requirements. I have to do it or not. What is the cost? If the cost is okay and I think it's good to invest in pigs, I'm going to do that. And in this reason, in the last 80 years, we have had an increase of production of 23%. 8 years, we have an increase of production of 23%. That is amazing for us.
So it sounds like, often it is hard to get producers to understand sometimes the importance of biosecurity because it's hard to show that return on investment, but it sounds like y'all been able to show that time and time again.
Yeah, and also the biosecurity, the problem that they have, the biosecurity has, is that biosecurity you have to work 365 years and 24 hours per day. So it's not the same that you are working, for example, with an antibiotic. So you have a problem, you use antibiotics, the antibiotics finish the problem, and you finish. And you have done only one actions in biosecurity. As a close friend of me said, the biosecurity is a mental state. You have here or you have not here the biosecurity. And you have to work every day. And you have to work in the small details. The bigger details, like the fences, the locker rooms, the change of the clothes, have to be prohibited for the company. That is clear, no problem at all. This is quite easier because it's structured. But the way that you have to work to know exactly that the transition between these animals to those animals to the farms, I have to change my boat, that I have to wash my hands, that these animals, I have not to move into this room because this animal has to keep with this group. This is a mental one. So you can teach the farmers and the veterinarian are doing a very great job also in improving the biosecurity and also the management of the animals to increase the sanitary status of the animals. But at the end, it's all these kind of things that you have to work every day. And the difficult is that you have to work every day, every hour, every minute in biosecurity. But if you have this mental state in your mind, it's quite easy to do that.
And with that, because there is so much that's involved with biosecurity, there's a lot of multifactorial, components to it. If a producer was starting up with a new farm, where do you think they need to start in terms of biosecurity? Where are the areas that they first should prioritize in terms of that as well?
Now, when we always divided the biosecurity in the external biosecurity and the internal biosecurity. I would like also to try make another division that is the bioprotection, that is maybe all the infrastructures and all the invest that you have to build with the farms, fences, protections, the doors, the net against the birds, everything that can protect for the animals, I think it has to be implemented in the moment that you are going to build the farms. And also you have to keep in proper conditions that all the things have to be worked, and also the protection, the cleaning and disinfection, and also the program without the rats, everything has to be worked. I think the other thing that is very important that we have to work every day is the biomanagement. That means that all the processes and all the protocols that our farmers have to apply every day in the management of the animals. But the other things that is quite important is the biocontention. Is try to avoid that my farm can contaminate your farm. because this is not in our mind. In our mind is also that I have to protect myself because the most important is my farm. But now we have to change the mind. So because the biosecurity in my farm starts in your farm. Mm-hmm. And your biosecurity starts in my farm. So mm-hmm. what is the measure that I have to take in to try to avoid that my disease go outside? And we have a lot of problems because we are going to share the waste. We are going to share maybe also the carcass collection or the track of the carcass collection. We are going to share that we are in the same feed mill. So our role is the feed mill is going to be in the two farms. So for this reason, professionality of the sector go in this direction. Not only that you have to work in your farm with your veterinarian and with your workers, also you have to be aware what is happening in your surrounding of your farm. So the regional biosecurity is going to be most important every day, because you know exactly what's happening in the farm, that you have 1, 2, 3 kilometers from you. Because at the end, the biosecurity your farm is going to be dependent. What is the level of the biosecurity of the other one?
How important is all these things that you are mentioning, Miguel Ángel? Because you talk about bioprotection, biomanagement, biocontention, which are concepts that I think that now they are actually really very updated, and basically thinking about which is the pandemic situation that we are suffering, how great it will be if everybody has these clear things on mind. Yeah. And just jumping into that, and it's not exactly related to biosecurity, but you were the first ones doing a nice document on what it was, procedures and helps for this pandemic in a farm. So first of all, what I want to say, thank you for what you bring to the industry, because I was asked to share that with several countries that they were asking for that. So thank you for this document, Miguel Ángel. Publicly, I want to say thank you for that.
Thank you for using it, because created this easier, use this is great. So.
No, but honestly, I think that you did a great job. And basically, what you were saying in this document in a main guidelines is protect yourself, be careful that this is something that you need to pay attention, take measures. So I think that it was a great thing. So how this doc? I have a curiosity. How you, because the document you were saying that it was produced with the help of some epidemiologists as well. How did came that to do that as fast as you did it? Because you did it really very fast.
Yes, the first. I always say that the first version of the document was created the 13th of March, and in the 14th. We have the alarm state, and so we make it one day in advance of the real problem. And was because some of the farmers asked me, okay, do you have any guidelines for give to my workers about the coronavirus? Because I would like to explain then what is coronavirus. Okay, say, okay, I think it's good, but I don't know if this will be useful. This is the first one. After 2-3 hours, I received 10 calls, also asking the same. As organization, we have something that we can give to our workers to say what is the guidelines also to protect themselves in the coronavirus, because I think we can do something. Okay, I say, oh my God, I think I have not any exit possible, so I have to do that. And I draw, of course, I make a draw of the guidelines, and I call to my 3-4 veterinarian colleagues, that all of you know it, so no problem at all, to say, I'm driving all these procedures. I would like to approach in this system. We will think what is the most important, this and those. This. And with this one, I think in one day, we make the first version. And also for me, the most important was the management procedure for the company. So how the company have to protect the farmers, not only to use the masks or to clean the hands. So try to avoid that all the people has to be together in the canteen, have different time to the entrance or to the exit of the farms, and also the distance. Right now we know that the farmers have not a lot of problems with coronavirus. Now, of course, the problem is in the industry that there are more workers together. So, but we are happy that our guidelines can be very useful for all the people. It was the first one. So the first one has a lot of different mistakes. We then improve the guidelines, but can be useful also for all the world to have only the start. So, as I say, the most difficult is to have the paper in blank. So when you have to start to write, you have the white paper, and the white paper is very difficult. When you have something, it's more easy to correct the document.
And, you know, you were talking about, you know, your regional approach in terms of biosecurity and containment. And as you just mentioned with COVID and, you know, having these safety factors in place for our workers, I mean, we're learning more about how important it is for biosecurity. And I think, you know, the really globally, they could learn from what we have been doing as an industry for a long time. And so with that, you know, thinking more on the regional side, can you share with us what you think the EU is really doing around biosecurity?
In EU, we have a problem with biosecurity because at the end, we are demanding for the European Commission. The European Commission also is the global organization who create the legislation in the Europe. And we are also trying to speak with the European Commission, the EU-SANT, in this case, that is the sanitary, to have a common legislation in biosecurity in Europe. And they have not go further on that because this is in the hands of the member state. Every single country has to own legislation about that, and it's not an European legislation, and that is a problem. That is a problem because when we are start to make comparison between different countries, we have huge differences. The most important one is that African swine fever, apologies for that because I would like to come back to African swine fever. One of the most important things is the backyard farming. Backyard farming, for example, in Spain, the definition of backyard farming is every single farm with less than 3 pigs, and these 3 pigs has to be fattening pigs. If you have only one sow, you have a farm. You have not a backyard farm. You have a farm. When you go to Lithuania, for example, backyard farming is when you have less than 100 pigs. 100 pigs that has a lot of exception in biosecurity. 100 pigs is not for the family consumption. You are going to market these animals. So what is the problem of African swine fever? For African swine fever, you can be positive, but if at the end there are not any market at all of this product, you reduce the problem. But if you have 100 animals in a backyard farming, it's very easy that this can product go to the market. If this product in the market has a very high risk of infections. So this is a simple, when we are visiting several farms in Germany or also in a Scandinavian country, the north of the country, we have not any fences between the farms. And you ask, do you have not any wild boars surrounding? Yes, we have plenty of wild boars. We have a lot of. But why you are not creating any fences surrounding the farms to protect yourself of biosecurity? No, because we are not using for that. So we have the farms, but we have not any protection. So any person that is working in the countryside can go to the door of your farm? Yes, they can do it. So, and there are not other legislations. So when we are talking about that, it's very difficult for the countries. And also, independent of the how professional is the system. So there are systems that are more traditional, one that is more related with the familiar consumption, that at the end, the feeding of the animals and the how they using the manure or the slurry is also not very good to try to avoid the spread of African swine fever, because the slurry at the end can be a potential vomit of the spread of the disease. So you have also to have an special lagoons to try to control the quantity or the capacity to try to avoid it. And this is not the legislation in several countries. So I very disappointed with this approach in the European Union, that we can have a common vision of biosecurity because they help us a lot. And we have not, unfortunately, we have not this approach, this common approach.
Thank you. You know, we're coming to the end of our podcast here, and we definitely want to say we applaud your efforts and your successes in biosecurity, as is not an easy topic to broach. And you know, we just thank you for what you've done for the industry and also globally. And I didn't know if you had any kind of final thoughts or approaches for the industry or our farmers in terms of biosecurity.
Biosecurity is an investment. And also every single project that you are doing, and you have a very good calculation of how it's going to be the cost of the productions, is going to be to depend on the sanitary issues. See, the sanitary issues is going to depend on the level of the biosecurity. So there are not another action. There are the only possibilities to try to protect yourself, protect your animals, to have a very high level of production. It's the only way. You can think that the biosecurity is a cost. If the biosecurity is a cost for you, please, I think you have to change the sector. You can go for another one, because in the big sector, in the global one, biosecurity is a fantastic invest that you have done, that you have only to control that everything is done. And also it's helping in the daily job. The biosecurity also has been very useful for the coronavirus situation, because we have the mentality of protect the animals. Change the mentality from protect the animal for protect the farmers has been very easy, because we have done. If you don't believe in the biosecurity, please, you are not very welcome in my sector. Please go to another. Biosecurity, I think, is one of the pillars. We think for the farmers there are two most important pillars, three pillars, that is animal welfare, biosecurity, and also the environment protections. If you have these things in your mind, you are very welcome. If you are not these three things in your mind, please, you have to rethink if you are in the correct work.
That's great. So I think that was a great final statement. No, Jessica, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a great, very strong statement to end on there. Thank you, Miguel, for your time. Yeah.
Thank you. It was really nice. Yes. Thank you, Miguel, and again, keep working, and we will keep supporting you on this great work that you are doing. So thank you very much, and guys, see you in our next peak cast. Okay. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to today's peak cast and for spending some time with us. We will see you next time for more relevant information about everything we want to know in the swine business. Take care.